Begin the current daven, Sechtes Chulin, Daf Kuf Yedalot. Begin 8 lines down with the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues in discussion of the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing in general the concept of Isra Chalal Isra. If we have something that already has a pre-existing prohibition, could now a new prohibition go ahead and take effect on that? That's a question in general, and then in specific regarding halachas of basa b'chalav. And that is, for example, in the case of someone takes chalav, which is considered part of the animal, like meat, but it's forbidden fats in every animal, then to cook that with milk, would now the issur basa b'chalav take effect on that or not? That was the Gemara's discussion, that those who want to say in general, that won't be, but here it will be, that those who hold that even here won't be. So that the Gemara says, Mesa, the Gemara asks from the following braisa, on the one who says that ain issur chalal issur, even by basa b'chalav, that it does not take effect, the Gemara asks from the following braisa, it seems clear that at least in the context of basa b'chalav, the issur basa b'chalav will take effect on the pre-existing issur. As the Gemara says, the braisa says if someone cooks meat in whey, which is like the water of milk, it's not the primary milk itself, it's like the water byproduct of milk, that's going to be exempt. That's not the primary issur basa b'chalav. So to dam shebishlu b'chalav pater. The other side, if let's say it's real milk, but someone's cooking it with blood, although that's from an animal, that's not the meat, the flesh, the muscle itself, he's going to be exempt from the iser. So to hatzama is bones, vagidim, the tendons, vakarnayim, the horns, vatlafim, the hooves, shebishal b'chalav. So these are all parts of an animal, but they're not the meat of the animal. So there also pater is going to be exempt from the iser basa b'chalav. However, says the braisa, hapigal, regarding part of a carbon that was had a machshav psul of having it eaten and consumed beyond its time, or v'hanayser, if it's the carbon that was left over its designated time, or v'atamei, if the carbon became tamei, where all these are the meat itself of the carbon is usher to be eaten for those respective isurim, shebashal m'chalav of that meat was cooked in milk, chayiv, there is going to be a liability of the isra basa b'chalav. So you see from this last halacha that although it already has a pre-existing isra of pigal or noisra or tamei, the isra basa b'chalav could go ahead and be superimposed and take effect on that too. So therefore that relates back to the previous Gemara's discussion from the previous daf regarding if someone cooks chayiv in chalav, forbidden fats in milk. We see that obviously, let's say even in general, if you hold ein issur chalal issur, but here in the context of basa b'chalav, as we expounded that there's three times it says, l'savashl gedi b'chalev imay. What are the extra terms, gedi, gedi, gedi? One of them is obviously, like we said in the previous daf, to say that the issur basa b'chalav will take effect on even all pre-existing issurim, which contradicts those opinions that we mentioned in the previous daf, that hold even by basa b'chalav, ein issur chalal issur, here you see it will take effect. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. Hai Tana Savi Issa Chalalissa. The Tana of this Braisa holds in general by all prohibitions that an Isser could take effect on a pre-existing Isser. But those other opinions that we quoted in the previous daf in the top of this Amud hold like the Amanda Amr that holds that Isser is not Chalalissa, in which we find many Machloikas and Tanoim regarding this opinion. If it's not difficult, it's respective Tanoim in their understanding of if Isser is Chalalissa or not. Incidentally, the Gemara says, once we introduce this braisa, it said, Hamavashal b'meichal of pater. One of the exemptions, it said, if someone cooks meat in whey, then he's going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, Mesayelu Rish Lakish. That actually supports Rish Lakish, because it's not. He qualified a Mishnah Mesechtes Machshirin. The Mishnah there says that meichal of the whey, this water of the milk, harehin kachalav, it is qualified like the milk, meaning to go ahead and make food items, seeds, susceptible to tumah, because food items to be susceptible to tumah have to come in contact with one of the seven types of liquids, and milk is considered a beverage, a liquid, as the pasuk says in Shaiftim, but Tiftach has noit ha'chalav v'tashkevi, she opened up the milk bottle and she gave him to drink, you see that milk is considered a drink. So too says the Mishnah, but they have a hamoichel, which is the liquid that oozes out of olives. Harev kashemen, it's not the olive oil that you squeeze out, but it's just some type of liquid that oozes out, that is considered like oil, and oil is considered a mashke, as the pasuk says, nishayim mishter shmanim. Now, although it's qualified as the milk itself, regarding hechsher, being machsher, a food item, making it susceptible to tumah, but on that Amar Rish Lakish, he says, leishaner lahachsher es azram. This halacha was only said to make food items, seeds, susceptible to tumah. In bishul basa b'chalav, regarding the liability of cooking meat in milk, mechalav einan kechalav, the water of the milk, the whey is not like the milk, and it's exactly like what we said from this braisa that in that context it's not considered like milk. Talmud Lina braisa, continuing on the theme of the previous staff of the primary source of this prohibition of basa b'chalav, says in the Torah three times loisavashal gedi b'chalei vimay, don't cook a kid goat in its mother's milk. Now, says the Braise, I would only know that it's forbidden to cook the meat in its mother's milk, which is meaning the milk of a goat. How do I know that it would even be, and we discussed in previous stuff regarding the types of meats. Here we discuss the types of milks. It says gidi, so I would think maybe it only is the milk of a goat. How do I know to include the milk of a cow or of a sheep? Amrit kavochaimer, says the Braisa, there's a kavochaimer that it would include these other animals. Because ma imoy shlei nestri imoy b'harva, if the mother of the goat, because we're talking about its milk, it's not prohibited to mate this child with its mother, the meat with where the source of the milk is, because they're the same species as their goats. Yet nestri imoy b'bishulai, the Torah is telling you clearly that it's forbidden to cook this kid in its mother's milk. So par v'rachel shenestri imoy b'harva, so cows and sheep, which are more prohibited in their mixture, will you not let them mate them? In addition, isn't it a kavul chaimer that regarding cooking them together, that for sure that mixture is going to be prohibited? Tamalayma says the Braisa, therefore we have a second pasuk to teach, in its mother's milk, which is extra, because we already have a pasuk that says, which says it three times. What's the second time it's saying? Coming to include the milk of every kosher animal. Now, Rashi points out that the Tana, this Braisa, has it extra, this Bachalev Imoy, because he doesn't need it, as we taught in the previous daf, for Shmuel, because he already used these Bachalev Imoy to teach other halachas. He says, Bachalev Imoy says in its mother's milk, and it says it three times, one is excluding the milk of a male, of the father, one is excluding the milk of a slaughtered animal, and one is excluding the milk of a non-kosher animal. Says Rashi, this Tana holds that they're actually all learned out from the first primary pasuk, which teaches the halacha itself, L'Sovash Gedi Bachalev Imoy, because it says Bachalev Imoy in its mother's milk, which its mother already infers not slaughtered, not father, and not non-kosher, because how do we know that? Because it says, L'Sovash Gedi, don't cook a gedi. Now, as we already established in the previous daf, and we're establishing on both of them what type of meat and what type of milk. We already established by the meat, the gedi part, that we're talking about a kosher animal, which already excludes a non-kosher animal. So obviously when it's talking about Imai, its mother, it's the same species, meaning also kosher milk. Because if Imai would mean not kosher milk, then it wouldn't be the same thing as the gedi, which is tahar. So therefore, obviously already from the first source already, it's already excluding all those things. Now, moreover, the Tana of this Braisa understands when it says gedi, it means specifically a gedi. Whereas the meat of chayis and other animals, you have to learn out from the extra terminologies of gedi, which tell us that, oh, those extra, it says it three times, is coming to say that those other things are also going to be asr. As Rashi points out, because if you would think that the terminology gedi automatically includes all types of animals, even a calf or a lamb, then why would we need to include the milk, as the Tana of this Braisa is, of a cow and a sheep? But it already says imai, its mother, and if the gedi already includes those types of animals, so the chalev imai is already including those types of milks. So obviously, that because he understands gedi as just a gedi, and you only know the other types of animals as its meats being prohibited from the other terminologies gedi, and therefore chalev imai would only mean that of the gedi, and therefore you need, again, extra sources also to include their milks too, as this Braisa teaches regarding the para and the rachel. Now, although the Gemara later on, the Kofta Zayin Min Alf, tells us that from the extra terms gedi, that Rabbi Kiva says, actually, that's where we're excluding chayenayif. So says Rashi, that's only according to the one who understands that the word gedi, actually the terminology includes a calf and a lamb. So therefore the extra psukim are actually coming to exclude. But according to the one who holds like the Tana of our Braisa, that no, gedi means specifically gedi, actually the extra psukim are actually coming to include, because if it was coming to exclude, you wouldn't need it. It doesn't mean that in its automatic definition. And then you have the third pasuk, which is excluding that of tamea of a non-kosher animal. Now, regarding shlil, that of a fetus, that the Tana of this Braisa does not need to include that, because that's understood from the, again, automatic definition, as we find in Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara says later on, that shlil, a fetus, is gedi ma'ali, is a regular gedi. So therefore, that's the understanding of the Tana of this Braisa, where he's coming to include from chalev imoy, it's extra terminology. Why do you need another pasuk to say chalev imoy? It's coming to include the milk of every kosher animal, even from a par of a rachel, even from a cow and a lamb. It doesn't have to be that the meat is cooked specifically with its own type, that of a goat. Now, but one thing the Gemara asks, but v'alom alikra, how do we read the braisa? Why do you need a pasuk? You already brought a source from a Kal Vachomer. You said, I would think only B'chalev Imayit's mother's milk. How do you know Parv Arachis or Kal Vachomer? If the mother that it's permitted to mate it with, still to cook it with, it's prohibited, so the cow and the sheep, which are different species, you can't mate, for sure it's forbidden to be cooked. And then you say, oh, that's why you need a pasuk. Why do you need a pasuk? You already have a Kal Vachomer. So Zalman Rav Ashi says, no, Mishum de Ikala Meimer mi ikar de dina, because you could say, from the beginning of the Kal Vachomer, from the beginning of the sourcing, in other words, this that you started off the Kal Vachomer by saying, well, oh, if a mother which is not prohibited to mate, still it's prohibited to cook, that's the beginning of the Kal Vachomer, on that you could ask a percha, a refutation, and that's why the Brice ends up bringing a pasuk. Because Mecha Kamaisis Lo, where are you bringing this Kal Vachomer from? Me'imoy, you're saying from the mother, where it's more lenient that you could mate it and still has the stringency of Basa B'chal. For sure, those other ones which have the stringency of mating, for sure has the stringency of Basa B'chal. And that says the Gemara, and this is what the Brisa was implicitly telling us. But Mali Imoy, Shekein Nesri Moy B'Shchita, what are you comparing to its mother, where it's forbidden to slaughter it with its mother on the same day? That's the Isser of Eisoy V'Esbenoy, one's not allowed to slaughter the mother and the child on the same day. Now, the reason why we're saying this in the Gemara, Mikar Dedina Pircha, that we're asking from the beginning of the source, because as we'll see later on, actually, there are times that the question is actually on the end of the derivation. But here it's on the primary source where you're coming from. That, what are you saying comparing to the mother, where there it has a different stringency, whereas Tamei Bepara, how are you going to compare it to the cow and the sheep? There's no prohibition of slaughtering them on the same day. So maybe they actually wouldn't have the stringency about the Isser Basa B'chalav. Therefore, that's what has the extra pasuk in its mother's milk to say even the milk of other kosher animals is also forbidden to cook it with the meat of an animal. Tan idach, we learn another braisa. We hear there's two different interpretations in Rashi, but when it says b'chalevimai, the way we're going to end up explaining it is that b'chalevimai is going on the third time that it says the terminology, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. Says the Braisa, Ein li'ela b'chalev imayis. I would only know the prohibition is in its mother's milk. B'chalev achayse g'day l'minayin. From where do we know that the prohibition is also in the milk of its older sister? Now, the first interpretation Rashi brings that he heard is that, what does it mean achayse g'day l'? It means a cow, which is the same type of species in the sense that it's an animal like it, but it's a larger, it's calling its older sister because it's a larger type of species. It's cattle, not flock. Now, that according to this interpretation, this Bryce is actually learning out from the same pasuk that the previous Bryce learned out from, and it's actually a different Tana. And he's changing his terminology by calling it Achayse Gedayla. Moreover, is that he's not learning out as the previous Bryce learned out Para and Rachel from one pasuk. Rather, the Tana, this Bryce is only learning out regarding a cow, which is different than the kid goat with two different differences. One is that it's actually forbidden to mate with it, and another one is that it cannot go in and have the animal tithing, which you have to take 1 out of 10 and make a ma'aseh behemah, together with it, because it's a different species. In contrast, the rachel, the sheep, actually could go in together with the goat to be tithed, because it says there's ma'aseh bakar and tzayin. Cows are bakar, and then the sheep are tzayin, which includes all types of tzayin. So therefore, we would not have excluded it from the prohibition of being cooked together with the meat. Therefore, first the Tana of this Braisa learns out regarding para, and then it learns out rachel from the Tzara Shavah, as the Gemara later on is going to say. Because Bakr cannot go with Sain to be tithed together, as the Gemara says in Sefetas Bechairis. That's the first interpretation Rashi brings. However, on Amad Beis, Rashi brings from Rabbi Yisiv Toiv Elam, that he saw in his manuscript, that actually a different interpretation. That when it talks about, as we'll see, regarding when the Braisa talks about Achayse Gedoyla, its older sister, and Achayse Gitan, its younger sister, it doesn't mean, like in a different species, it's calling its older sister, where this is flock, and that's cattle, this is goat, and that's a cow. No, it's going literally on its same species, meaning it's talking about a goat just like it. And when it's talking about its older sister, it means it's older, meaning that it already was tithed already from a previous year. Like an older sister was born in the early year, you tithe according to the year. Whereas its younger sister is talking about a kid goat that was not tithed just like it. Now, therefore, says Rashi, according to that interpretation, the Tana of this Braisa is actually the same Tana of the Braisa, of the previous Braisa, which that Braisa had learned out from the second Pasuk. The first Pasuk teaches Allah of Leisavashah Gidei B'Chalevimai, the actual primary Isser. The second time it says it, it comes to include that regarding the milk of a cow and a sheep from that second extra Pasuk. And the reason why it picks regarding Achayse G'dayla that we're learning out from this extra pasuk, from this ribui, is because it's logical to include the older sister, because it has astringencies related to it that it's forbidden to take tithes for said, and therefore we would assume that that is what we're going to say is included from the Isser and making it forbidden. But whereas the second pasuk, meaning the first extra pasuk that we have in the previous brisa, we would not have included Achais HaGadayla, because we could say that the only thing we're including in the Isser of its milk is a cow and a sheep, because there's astringency more than that of Achais HaGadayla, where it's forbidden to go out and mate it together, whereas the sister is not forbidden. So therefore, we need another pasuk, the third pasuk, to include even Achais HaGadayla, whereas Ketana, as we're going to see, we learn out from a Mahatzad, from a common denominator. But that's what the Bryce is saying. That so how do you know that the kid goat with the older sister's milk, meaning it had already been tithed, that also is going to be forbidden? So Amrit Kabochaimer, you say it's a Kabochaimer. What's the Kabochaimer? If regarding its mother, which it's not differentiated from the kid goat regarding being tithed, because it's the same species. Meaning, even if this animal had already given birth, it's its mother, still it's fit. It's appropriate to be put into the pen to be taken the tithe at the same time as its child, because a kid goat could give birth when it's still in its first year. And therefore, it actually will go with its son into the pen to be tithed, if it wasn't yet tithe. That the Brisa says in Masechtas Becheiros that a kid goat, a gedi that gave birth to three daughters, and each one of the daughters gave birth to three daughters, they could all technically go into the pen to be taken tithe. And even so, the Torah differentiates and separates that Nesra Imoy Bebishal, and still it's forbidden to go ahead, even though it shares the commonality with it, that it can be tithe together, still it's forbidden to cook it with its mother's milk. So regarding the older sister, which cannot even go into the pen with it to be tithed, that's how separate it has to be. In addition, Nesher may be Bishnah, isn't a Kabochemah that has to be separated and be forbidden to be cooked together with its milk. That's why it says the extra pasuk, this third pasuk, according to this interpretation of Rashi, that including all types of milks, even the milk of its older sister, which had already been tithed. Now the question is, what do you mean? B'halom likro. The same question we asked before. Why do you need a pasuk? Asilo, you already learned from a kal v'chaymer. For sure, if the mother's milk, which the mother could be in the pen at the same time, the older sister, which cannot, is more stringent. For sure, it's going to be stringent in the issa basa b'chalom. Of Adam Ravashi says, no, mishum de'ikul emeimah mi'ikar didin apircha. Because you could say, from the beginning of the derivation of the kal v'chaymer, there's a refutation, there's a flaw in the kal v'chaymer. Because mehecha kamaislo, where are you learning out the kal v'chaymer? From mi'imah, from the mother. The problem is, now we find the stringency that the mother has over the older sister, and therefore maybe there only is the issa bas b'chalom, where it's forbidden to be slaughtered on the same day as the child, as the goat that you're taking the meat from. Whereas what are you going to say regarding the older sister? It's not forbidden to slaughter them on the same day. Maybe there actually would not be an issa bas b'chalom in the milk of the older sister of an animal that had already been tithed. That's why you need extra pasuk, the third pasuk of in its mother's milk. Why do you need another pasuk for it to include another one, another category, which is Achais HaGadayla? Continues the Gemara. Ashkechan Achais HaGadayla. Fine, we have a source for the Issa Bas B'chalav, cooking meat, which again, from extra terminologies of Gedi, includes all types of meats of kosher animals. But B'chalei V'imai, with its mother's milk, we have extra limudim, the primary source, the second pasuk teaches Parva Rachel, we have the third pasuk teaches the older sister, how do we know it include the younger sister, which again, according to this interpretation, means the animal that wasn't tithed yet, how do we know that its milk is also going to be forbidden with the meat of the animal? Says the Gemara, we learn it out from a commonality, a common denominator between its mother and its older sister. As the Gemara explains, where are you going to learn it out from? If you're going to say teisa mi'ima, you're going to say, okay, just like it's forbidden to cook the meat in its mother's milk, so too it's forbidden to cook it in the milk of its younger sister. But how could you learn out from there? Mali imoy shekein nesra mei b'shchita. What are you going to say? Maybe there's a stringency regarding its mother, that you're not slaughter on the same day as the child. Maybe that's why it's forbidden to cook it in its mother's milk, in contrast to its younger sister, which doesn't have that isra. Then you'll say, no, its older sister will disprove that, where it's not forbidden to slaughter on the same day, and yet its milk is forbidden. But then you'll say, wait, how are you going to learn from its older sister? That has astringency, and maybe that's why its milk is forbidden to cook with the meat, because it cannot be put into the pen to be tithed at the same time. And how could you therefore compare it to the younger sister? Well, then you say, the mother will disprove that, where it could be in the pen at the same time, because it's possible it wasn't tight, and yet still its milk is forbidden. So therefore, that's what's called v'chazra adin, so then the logic goes back. Loi rizek rizek, this one's characteristic is not like that one. But loi rizek rizek, and this one's not like that one, meaning to say, You can't say you can't learn out a chesed katana from the mother and from the older sister because of the respective independent stringencies, because we find the other one, whether it be the mother or the older sister, does not have that specific stringency. So you have to go with hatsara shavashav. And what's the common denominator between the two of them? Shuv basar, that they're both meat. V'asul v'asul b'chalav, and it's forbidden to cook in whichever milk, whether it be the mother's milk or the older sister. Therefore, I'm also going to bring in this derivation the younger sister shubas of asla vashem b'chalav, that it's meat and it's forbidden to cook it in this milk. So that's how we know achesa ketana. But then the Gemara asks, but yachi, if that's the case that you're learning out the achesa ketana from this mahatzad from between the two of them, so then achesa gedel inami. Then you have back to the question. Then the older sister also should not require a pasuk, as we were saying up until now, that that's what the third extra pasuk of Bechalevim is coming to say, because teisim ibenaya. It should also be learned out from a common denominator. From what? From the mother and from the cow, because the mother is the first pasuk Bechalevim. The second extra pasuk was para v'rachel, a cow and a sheep. And you're saying the third pasuk is for the older sister. And you said, oh, younger sister, you could know from between the mother and the older sister. And that is the Gemara. Why? Older sister could be learned that from a mahatzad of the mother and the para. And you would expound as follows. You'd say, wait a second. Just like the mother, which goes into the pen, it's permitted with it to be tied together and still it's forbidden to cook together. So the older sister for sure is more stringent. Then you say, no, well, how could you compare it to the mother, which forbidden to slaughter on the same day? You'll disprove that stringency from the cow, which the cow doesn't have that problem of being slaughtered on the same day. But then you say, wait, how could learn from the cow, where it's forbidden to mate it together and also to be tithed together? You say, well, the mother will disprove that, where it's permitted to be mated and to be tithed, and still it's forbidden with its milk. And then the logic goes back. The common denominator is that they're milk and that they're meat. And you will learn that from a common denominator, not just a chesed ketana, but also a chesed gedayla. And therefore, ask the Gemara, why do you then need this third pasuk? So the Gemara says, in the Chanami, you're right. And you know it from a mahatzad, the older sister. So then, so the Gemara says, we're back to the question. So what is the third pasuk for? The first pasuk is teaching the primary halacha that it's forbidden to cook milk, meat in milk. And it's mother's milk. The second pasuk is coming to include not only its mother's milk, but also regarding a cow and regarding a sheep. So the question is, but now the third pasuk, what's this coming to teach us? So it's a good moment, boy, like in town, you need it as we learned in the following brisa. Bechalevima, it says, in its mother's milk, says the brisa, in le'el bechalevima, I would only know in its mother's milk, as we continue to Tamidbeis, he atzmo bechelba, it itself, in its own milk, which came out when it was still alive, minayin, from where do we know that you can't cook the animal itself in its own milk, not just in its mother's milk? Now, Rashi says, from this exposition of this brayso, you see clearly, like he wants to say, according to the second interpretation of Rabbi Yosef Tev Elam, like we explained the Gemara, that you literally need an extra derivation for a sister, like we said, older sister, younger sister, whether from a pasuk or whether from a mahatzad, because here we're finding in this brayso that even the animal itself, the mother itself, in its milk, needs to have a derivation, obviously that we don't know it from the primary pasuk, every type of goat, only its mother. But it itself, you wouldn't know. And for sure, the same thing would be regarding its older sister and its younger sister. So says the Braisa, how do you know that? Says the Braisa, Amit Kavachem, you'd say a Kavachemer. Because Ma b'mokum shlei neser pri im pri b'shchita, if in a situation where the derivation, the fruit, the child, the product, is not forbidden to slaughter with the other product, meaning what that's referring to, but it's uniquely regarding the terminology that's being used, is that someone is allowed to slaughter two sons of the same cow on the same day. Yet still, nesa pri ima em b'shchita, but the product with the mother is forbidden to be slaughtered on the same day. So then you have the following kal v'chemer. So makom shenesa pri im pri b'bishl, so then when the pri is forbidden with the pri in cooking, which is gedi b'chalev, they're both products of the mother, the child, the gedi, and the milk is also a product of the mother. So in addition, that's the pri ima bishul. So isn't that a kavul chaimer that the product, which is the milk, will be forbidden with the mother in cooking? Because regarding slaughtering, the pri is permitted with the pri. Yet regarding bishul, the pri is forbidden with the pri. So then kavul chaimer that regarding the pri with the aim, that's forbidden with shchita, is for sure forbidden with bishul. Tamalay b'chalevim. That's why you have the third pasuk teaching you b'chalevim to include also the animal in its own milk. Ask the Gemara, like we've saying up until now, halomali kro, why do you need a pasuk? Ha'is asyalo, you just said it's a kavuchemer. Says the Gemara, Amrav Achtavay Bar Ami, says that And Rashi points out here we don't say mikar d'din apircha, as we said previously, because here it's actually not on the source of the initial derivations, actually on the end of the logic. And the reason is mishum de'ikla meima, because you could say sus ben susya, a horse, the son of a female horse, achi pirda, that's the brother of a female mule, yechiach will disprove this kavachemer. Meaning to say, if you have that this mule, female mule, was born from the mother, which is a female horse, but the father was a donkey, so therefore it's a, the child is a mule. Now, but there was another son that the mother, who was a female horse, gave birth from a horse. So it comes out that the son is permitted to be mating with its mother, because they're both horses, but forbidden with its sister, which is a different species. Where there you find the case, sha'asa pri impri, that the product with the product are forbidden, because one's a horse, one's a mule. Umuta pri amem, but the product is permitted with the mother, so that disproves the logic, your whole logic of the kavachem is based on. Oh, if you find pri impri is more stringent, so then therefore for sure pri amem is going to be asa. No, you find cases that the pri impri is asa, but pri amem is mutter. On that, the Gemara asks, why should that refute the kavachem? Hasam zera ha'avu de kukarim. No, to the contrary, there it's the seed of the father that is what causes. Meaning, there the isser is not because it's pre with pre to say, oh, you see that pre was usser and your pre im is mutter. No, actually, because there's actually not pre and pre. It's actually considered pre with she'ena pre. That's not the same product. In other words, because the father, the paternal element, is actually different, so it's considered not the same pre. But regarding, let's say, Gedi B'chalevimai, where there both are being called as products of the same mother, the milk and the child are both from the same product, and even so we find that it's Aser. So therefore that shouldn't disprove the logic. And you should know this, that the reason is actually by the case you tried disproving the Kavachemah from, that no, there it's actually considered not the same min. And it's because of differentiation of the father, because many times you'll find that actually the opposite will be forbidden. That actually the product with the mother will be forbidden and the product with the product will be permitted. As the Gemara proves, because the hoperet ben susya, I could describe you a case when you have a mule, the son of a female horse, because she gave birth to him from a mule, from a donkey father. Achi pirda, and he's the brother of a female mule, because this horse, the mother horse, had another child, a daughter, from that same donkey father. Well, Yechich will disprove your question. Because Shemutta pri and pri, there you have the product of the product is permitted. Vasa pri maim, and the product is forbidden with the mother. So obviously you see it's not because that you're trying to disprove and you see that, oh, pri and pri could be also pri maim is mutter. What's with this case? Exactly the opposite. Obviously it's because it depended on the seed of the father, and therefore it makes it she'ena mina. But our kavachemish should still stand in regards to that you see that prima pri is more stringent than prima aim, and therefore the prima aim should definitely be also because of kavachema. So why the Gemara, why the brides fall off and need a pasuk? Say l'amma ma'abred Ravina, he says a different interpretation why the kavachema is refuted. From the ikal aim, because you could say eved ben shifcha, a male slave, the son of a female maidservant, achim mishuchreres yichiach, that's the brother of a freed female sister, will disprove the kavachema. Because Sha'asa pri and pri, there the product is forbidden with the product. The son is forbidden with his sister because she's a free woman and he's a slave. Umuta pri ma'am, and still the product is permitted with the mother. He's permitted the same species, at least, of his mother, which is considered slaves, and he's forbidden with the species of his sister, which is a bascheren. So you see that the logic is not of the kavachem is not sound, because it's not necessarily when it's asa pri and pri that would be asa pri ma'am. There you see it's mutter the pri ma'am. But here the Gemara asks on the refutation of the Kavachemer, no. Hasim get shichruhu de kogarm, similar as the previous Gemara's refutation, that there, it's the document of emancipation that causes him to be forbidden with his sister. It's not because, oh, it's the product is forbidden with the product. No, because actually I could show you sometimes the exact opposite and it will be forbidden because it's contingent on the shichruh. That's the element, but not because of seeing pre and pre being less, being more stringent than pre and aim, because though eved be mishuchreres, take the case of the slave that's the son of his mother who's freed, achi shifcha, that's the brother of a female sister who's still a maidservant, yechir will disprove your question where shemuta pre and pre, which it's permitted the product with the product, because they're both slave species, vasa pre and aim, and yet the product is forbidden with the species of the mother, because the mother's free. So that, again, cannot be a refutation of the Kal Vachomer. So Elam Ravid Barav, and he says a different reason. He says, because you could refute the Kal Vachomer from the forbidden mixture of seeds, like wheat kernels with lentils, which is forbidden to plant one with the other, where Sha'asa Pri and Pri, they're both products that grow from the ground, and they're forbidden with one with the other. Umuta Pri Ma'aim, and yet the product is permitted with the mother, meaning you're allowed to plant each one with its mother, meaning with the ground, which is where they come from. So you see that the logic of the Kal Vachomer that the Brayis had originally brought is flawed, because you see that Pri Ma'aim is not more stringent. There you see it's permitted, even though Pri and Pri is Asa. I'm about to get my ass. No. Do you think over there that it's the pre with the pre that's going to be aser? Klum nesa pre and pre. Do you think in that case of Kalai Yisroim that the product is forbidden? That's Ella. That's only by planting, when you plant them together in the ground, that's only Ali Deheim. That's only together with the mother. Because when you have wheat and barley that's together in a jug where you're storing it over there, then it's not forbidden. It's only together with the mother. So you don't have a case trying to refute the Kal Vachomer to see that pre and pre is aser, but pre ma'im is mutter. It's not pre and pre over there that's aser. It's pre and pre ima'im that's aser over there. So Elam Ravashi, rather Ravashi says that the reason of the refutation of the Kal Vachomer, and that's why we needed to learn it out, he atzma b'chelba from the third extra pasuk, is b'shum de'ikula meima, because you could say, ma la pri and pri, yeah, maybe the product with the product, that's where there's a isabas b'chelav, the kid goat, which is born from the mother, and the milk which is coming from the mother, maybe over there's the isabas b'chelav, shekein shnei gufim, because those are two different bodies. They're both independent entities. They came from the same source, but they're independent entities. Whereas the product with the mother, the milk from the animal itself, where it's one body, the milk is part of that same animal. And you would say maybe over there that it's not a forbidden mixture because it's not two different entities, it's the same entity. Maybe actually we'd be permitted to cook the animal itself with its own milk. That's why, says Ravashi, it was necessary to have the third extra pasuk of Leisavashi Gedi B'chalev Imai extra, because you already had two times the Reis of B'chalev Imai to say it's forbidden to cook it, the animal, in its own milk. Now another teaching from Amar Vashi on this topic of Bas B'chalev says, Menayin L'Bas B'chalev Sh'as B'chilev. Where do we know? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're not allowed to eat milk and meat that were cooked together. It says, don't cook it. How do you know that it's forbidden to eat Bas B'chalev? Shnei Malachim says, a pasuk in Devarim. It says, Le'seichel Kol Te'eva. It says in the Torah, don't eat anything that's an abomination. Says Ravashi, what the pasuk is telling you is kol shati afti loch, whatever I made forbidden to you to be abominated and to distance yourself from it, harei b'bal teichel, that has automatically a prohibition of eating it forever in whatever situation it is, whether it came about through a sin or not through a sin, let's say a minor had done it or a non-Jew, but once I made it abomination for you, it's forbidden. Now, in this situation, the Bas B'chalev, Hashem made an abomination for the Jewish people because he distanced the Jewish people from even cooking them together. And if Hashem is saying, don't cook them together, it's an abomination, therefore it automatically has a prohibition of not eating it. Now, Ve'en le'ele b'achila, I would only know, okay, so it's from this pasuk that's forbidden to eat bas b'chalev. Banom minayin, the third element that we've been mentioning, that you're not allowed to cook the meat and milk, you're not allowed to eat the milk and meat, how do you know forbidden to have benefit from it? And that's what Rav Ashi could Rebbe Vo. Like Rebbe Vo said, Amar Bevo, Amar Belazri says, Kamakim Shnema lo yechel, anywhere in the Torah that says, don't eat, lo teichel, don't eat, lo teichel, don't eat it, that's Echad Eser Achila, that actually includes not just a prohibition of eating it, the Echad Eser HaNobamash, but also it implicitly is telling you a prohibition of having benefit from it. Until the Torah specifies for you, Kederch Shepar Lecha B'Nevela, as it's specified by Nevela. Because by a dead animal that was not properly slaughtered, even though it only says in the Torah, don't eat it, the Torah had to go through and specify that it's permitted to have benefit from you, from that nevela. So the inference is that wherever the Torah does not specify that there's a permission of benefit, it implicitly is telling you that there's also a prohibition of having benefit from it, from the fact that it tells you don't eat it. Where by nevela, it tells you, leger b'nesina, that you are permitted to give it to the resident convert, the ger teisha, b'loi b'kachavim, b'mechira, or to sell it to a non-Jew, the time like Linda Brysa, where the Torah has to tell you that it's permitted to do those things, well, why should I think it's prohibited? It only says not to eat it. Why are we saying that it's permitted to benefit from it, but by selling it or gifting it to someone else that doesn't have the isra of eating it? Because it's telling you that every time it says Lei Teichel, it automatically is telling you don't have benefit. And here the Torah is telling you from Lei Seichel Kol Teva that you're not allowed to eat it, so you're not allowed to benefit from the Bas B'chal. Telling you like one of the Brises. There's a person in Devarim. Leisoich l'kol mevel. It says don't eat an animal that wasn't properly slaughtered. Leger asher b'sherecha titnen v'achla, to the ger that's in your gates, you should give it to him and he should eat it. Oy machla nachri, or sell it to the non-Jew. Now, there's actually machleikis regarding what was the permissibility. From the simple reading of the pasuk, I would only know that for the ger toshav you're allowed to give it, and for the non-Jew you're allowed to sell it. Leger b'mechir minayin, how do you know you're allowed to sell it to the ger toshav too? Tamalayma leger titnen lo eimachu, because you could read the pasuk with the comma in another place. You could read it to the ger give it eimachur or sell it. Stop before you go on to the word lanachri. You could read it like that. So you see, you could sell it to the ger. Now, how do you know that you could also gift it to the non-Jew and not only have to sell it to him? You could read it with the comma earlier that gift it or sell it to the non-Jew. Meaning from the fact that it says the selling and the gifting in the middle, from there you could understand that both selling and gifting applies to both the ger and to the non-Jew. Because if it was specifically gifting to the ger and selling to the non-Jew, then it should have written like titnenu leger, should have the gifting before the word ger, and ben timkaren lev kechav and sell to the non-Jew. And the fact that it says those terminologies in the middle, you could read it as either from the previous category of ger or from the second category, that of the non-Jew. Nimtzik, so comes out, both for the ger and for the non-Jew, you could either sell it or gift it, that's Dibri Meir. He says, no, the words are as they're written. You could only gift it to the ger, you could only sell it to the non-Jew. Now ask the Gemara, my time in Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, because Isa Gedaita could become Rabbi Meir, if you would think like Rabbi Meir said, where he says, okay, why is it in the middle? Obviously it applies to both. Says Rabbi Yehuda, then no, lichter rechmana, then the Torah should have written, le'toichlu kol nevela, don't eat all nevela, and they should have written it, le'gerashe b'sherecha titnenda v'achala umacher, should have said, for the ger that's in your gates, you should give it, and he could eat it, and sell it, because both apply to the ger. Oilam, why say the word or? Shema menol, le'dvarm k'ksavim nudasa, obviously he's coming to tell us, as it's written. Leger ben Asina, for the ger you could only gift it. Ulay v'kacham ben Mechirin, for the non-Jew you could sell. That's what it says, or either this option or that option, either gifting to the ger or selling it to the non-Jew. But Vermeya Malachi would tell you that no, hi, this says or and doesn't say and. Is lahakdim nesina the ger lemechir de v'kacham. It's saying or as in like a stop because it's coming to preface and to make the as a primary option of giving to the ger before you sell to the non-Jew. That's what saying is or. But really both options apply to the ger. It's just saying, okay, first we primary would want you to gift it to the ger. Or secondary, second best, then you could sell it to the non-Jew. But really both apply to the ger. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, however, he would tell you, lahaktim nesin in the ger lemechir deber kachavim, for that idea to first make it the primary option of gifting to the ger before you sell it to the non-Jew, loitzach krai, says that you wouldn't need oi to tell you as a pasig, because svaruhu says you know that from logic, and therefore oi is actually coming to say that no, it's either one or the other, because zat mitzvah lachyese, the ger teishu, you have an obligation of giving him his survival, of giving him things that he needs. The non-Jew, you don't have an obligation of providing sustenance. So of course we would know first you're going to give to the ger before you sell to the non-Jew. And therefore he learns that, he's coming to totally separate and say, for the ger only gifting, and for the evik achavim for selling. But that's one thing that the Gemara is telling us, that we find over here this halacha of the Torah has to explicitly tell you that it's permitted to have benefit from it, which there's a machlekes regarding what type of benefit, even though it only says not to eat it, and that's how you know that there's also an isra hanah of benefit by basa machal, because we already know that it's included in leisoichel called te'eva, that since it's a te'eva in cooking it together, so therefore there's isra of eating it, and therefore once there's isra of eating it, it already automatically tells you that there's an isra of hanah of having benefit from it, again, unless the Torah explicitly tells you allowed to, like it says by nevela.